ogres will follow.
These mountains are too wide for most demons to teleport across. Mammoth soldiers will have to climb or go around, and it should slow their journey.
The Wrath General on Aziel's left says. I think his name is Raum, but I'm not positive. All of Aziel's generals have traditional demonic names, and I struggle to remember them. Raum's arms are covered in black tattoos, and they shift on his skin as he leans forward and taps on an area on the map. I can't see it from here, but I assume he's pointing to the mountains he just spoke about. The other generals bend their necks to get a better look, the men tall, even for demons. It makes sense that Aziel would have large men as his generals, the Wraths placing significant value on physical strength. The general directly across from Aziel shakes his head.
Unless they cut through the lava fields, he says.
I raise a brow at the mention of the lava fields. Silas took me there on a date once, and I couldn't imagine anybody, let alone an army, trying to navigate them. The area Silas took me to stretched as far as the eye could see, and the heat was unbearable. We were a good distance from any of the actual lava, too. Aziel purses his lips, his eyes darting along the map before he picks up a red marker and circles two spots.
This is where I want your units stationed, he says,
tapping his marker. I take a second step inside the room. Another wave of thick power fills my lungs, the scent intense. Aziel and his generals exert more than necessary, which I assume is a stress response. It would have brought me to my knees before, and I'm glad for the immunity Aziel's bond provides.
That leaves the valley unprotected,
Raum points out. I shift my weight from foot to foot, waiting for Aziel's inevitable anger over having a weakness in his plan so publicly acknowledged. Instead, to my complete surprise, Aziel uncaps his marker and redraws the second circle.
This better?
He asks. Raum grunts, and I take that as a yes. I didn't realize Aziel could be so collaborative. He was always so commanding in his meetings with Leviah, the King of Envy. Aziel runs a hand through his hair before waving over Rock. The shadow enters the room and slides past me, his dark robes swishing around his hazy form, before slotting himself between the Wrath General standing across from Aziel.
Remind me what areas you overheard Valentine discussing,
Aziel says. Rock clears his throat and takes the red marker from Aziel's hand, and I lean forward to try and peek at what he's doing. I want to know what's going on. My movement seems to draw Aziel's attention, and I freeze as he frowns and turns in my direction.
Charlie, why don't you go see if Silas needs help?
He suggests. The hidden meaning behind his question isn't hard to discern. He wants me to leave. A small part of me wants to argue and insist I be allowed to listen, but instead, I give a slight nod and exit the room. I can feel Aziel's stress through the bond, and I'm sure my lingering is distracting. Silas's office door is cracked open, and I peek inside to see him sitting behind his desk on his laptop. He looks stressed, and he pushes the sleeves of his brown sweater up his forearms as his black eyes dart over his computer screen. I'm sure he's aware I'm here, but he doesn't look up as I push open the door the rest of the way and take a few steps into the room. We haven't discussed where things stand between us after our night together, but now's not the time to approach that conversation. My palms feel clammy as I reach his desk and tap on the surface, quietly asking for his attention. Silas purses his lips and finishes typing something on his laptop before turning to me. His gaze is intense, and the muscles under his sweater shift as he waits for me to speak up.
Yes?
He eventually asks. I square my shoulders in an attempt to look larger. Confidence is key. That's what the shifters always say. Is there anything I can do to help? I ask. Silas sinks his teeth into his full bottom lip, the man probably thinking hard about how best to shut me down. After a moment of tense silence, he shakes his head. His computer pings, and immediately his attention on me is lost.
One second,
he says, his eyes darting over the screen. My males are frantic to prepare before Mammon strikes, the unknown putting them on high alert, and I don't take offense when he turns away from me entirely and begins to type out a response.
Fuck,
he mumbles, pinching the bridge of his nose when another message comes through. Silas looks